And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is Morton Wishengrad's The Great Purim Scandal, freely adapted from section of Maurice Samuel's modern classic, The World of Shalom Aleichem, and featured in the role of narrator is Alan Reed. Blessed be Mordecai, and do you know what day this is? The 14th day of the month Adar of the year 5706 of the Hebrew calendar. In short, a fine day, a good day, a merry day. Purim, the festival of the devotion of Esther, the wisdom of Mordecai, and the foiled villainy of Haman.
Sing friedelich, sing, tanz freilich und springt im Teuern und tum nicht vergesst.
Many years ago, in the innocent childhood of our century, there was a writer named Shalom Rabinovich. 50, 60 years ago, in the ghettos of Tsarist Russia, this man Rabinovich began to write. He wrote simply, casually, the way a man chats in a tavern or relates an anecdote to a friend. But his language had an incomparable authenticity. And his humor was not of himself, but of an entire folk. He took the pen name Shalom Aleichem, the ordinary, common, daily greeting of the Jew. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. In the little village of Kozrilovki, in the world of Shalom Aleichem, once there was a great Purim scandal. I shall tell you all about it. But first, our cast of characters, our dramatis personae.
First is me. I am always first. Naphtali with the legs. Pleased to meet you.
Reb Isaac the storekeeper at your service. One a year Isaac, they call me.
I'm his wife. Lotta is my name. Every year I have a child. Like clockwork.
I am Nechama the Black, to distinguish me from Nechama who has red hair. I am the servant of Lotta and the one a year.
Reb Yossi the storekeeper, and business is bad. Better call me Yossi the wash rag. Zelda's my wife. I'm henpecked.
A black lie. Yossi, take your dirty feet off my clean kitchen floor this very minute.
Nechama the red, that's me. Servant to Zelda and Yossi the wash rag. It's a dog's life.
The main characters in the story of the great Purim scandal of Kozrilovki. The main characters, except for one. Reb Yossiful, the rabbi. Old, honored, saintly.
Man is not wicked through choice. There is no sinfulness, only childishness and error and misunderstanding.
We are nearly finished with the introduction. All we need now is a glossary of terms.
Nosh. A nosh, the noun. Two nosh, the verb.
What is a nosh? A between meal snack. A sample. A lick of the tongue. A tidbit.
Ah.
No, not good enough. A nosh is a nosh.
Humantosh.
Humantosh. A special Purim cake. Haman's hat, triangular in shape, with a sweet hard crust and a stuffing of poppy seed, ground nuts, and honey. Purim without Hamantash is Hamlet without the prince.
Shalachmonis.
Shalachmonis. Platters of sweetmeat. On Purim, it is a semi-religious rite to send round plates of cakes and cookies and scones. Remember the word.
Shalachmonis.
It is very important to our story. Well, now we can begin. The question now is, how do you celebrate Purim? First, you go to the synagogue and you read the Book of Esther. You also sing. Everyone sings. Naphtali with the legs, he sings. Yossi the wash rag, he sings. Nosy Beryl, he sings through his nose. Reb Yosefel quavers in his old patient center. Everyone sings. But the singing and the reading of the Book of Esther are only the beginning. Once each year, the citizens of Kazrilovki are treated to a dramatic spectacle, the Purim play. And here is where our friend Naphtali with the legs reigns supreme. He is producer, backer, designer, stage manager, coach, ticket seller, and playwright. Naphtali is also something in addition. On Purim, he is the chief unofficial interpreter, critic, and commentator on the Book of Esther.
Quiet! Quiet! I, Naphtali with the legs, ask quiet. Behold me, everybody. Memuchim is my name, and I am King Ahasuerus' chamberlain.
Hey, one moment. Who appointed you to be Memuchim? I will play Memuchim.
You? You with your legs? Listen here. Who is it that carries the command of Ahasuerus to Queen Vashti, eh?
Memuchim.
Who brings back the stupefying answer, eh?
Memuchim.
With whom does Ahasuerus take counsel, eh?
Memuchim.
Who is the ambassador to Mordecai, eh?
Memuchim.
It's Memuchim here, Memuchim there, Memuchim everywhere.
What about it?
In a Purim play, a Memuchim with short legs is a calamity.
Mm. Well?
A Purim play simply cannot be written for a Memuchim with short legs. I, Naphtali with the legs, I play Memuchim.
Well, no,
quiet, quiet. I sing, you join with me in the chorus. Oh, once there was a wicked, wicked man, and Haman was his name, sir. He would have murdered all the Jews, though they were not to blame, sir.
Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And now some Hamantash.
And Esther was the lovely queen of King Ahasuerus. When Haman said he'd kill us all, oh my, how he did scare us.
Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And not some harmentation.
On this same inspired level, the Purim play proceeds. Through the dethronement of Vashti, the election of Esther, the refusal of Mordecai to humble himself before Haman, Haman's revenge, the providential sleeplessness of the king, the banquet of Esther, and the downfall of Haman. Now, this was all according to the timeless custom of Kazrilovki. However, in another part of the village, there was the beginning of a great scandal. It began with a cloud no larger than a man's hand. As a matter of fact, it was a man's hand. The hand of Reb Isaac, the one a year.
Lotta, I'm dying.
On Purim, Isaac? Impossible.
I tell you, I'm dying.
You mean you're not feeling well?
How can you nag a man at a time like this? I'm dying.
I'm brave. See, I don't weep.
Listen, Lotta. I wish to dispose of my worldly possessions. The store I leave to you.
No more than right.
The horse and buggy I bequeath to Velvel. He's our eldest.
Why not to Ezra? He will make better use of it.
All right. All right, let it go to Ezra then. The cow I bequeath to Leah.
Miriam would be a better choice.
Have it your way. My silver watch is a gift to Beryl.
Oh, no, no. He doesn't deserve it as much as Chaim.
Have it your way. Have it your way, Slaughter. My snuff box then to Beryl.
Uh-uh. He isn't worth a pinch of snuff. Give it to Zalman.
Lotta.
Yes, Isaac.
Tell me, Slaughter, who is dying anyway, you or I?
Neither one of us. Nahama! Nahama the Black, where are you? It's time to deliver the show of Manus platters.
And so Isaac did not die. Not this one. Let us digress for a moment from our other digressions. How many children was Isaac the one? He contents himself with the word multitude. Now, this is not carelessness, but good manners. After all, what business is it of ours how many children Isaac or Naphtali bring into the world? Do we have to support them? Are they in our way? A well-bred Cadmillocite, compelled to count the members of his family or someone else's family, always says,
well, Velvel is not one. Ezra is not two. Leah is not three. Miriam is not four. Beryl is not five. Chaim is not six. Zalman is not seven. Sarah is not eight. Aaron is not nine. David is not 10. And then there is little Levi, which makes a total of not 11. May they live 120 years.
Chag Purim, Chag Purim, Chag Gadol Ulayudim, Matzichos Rashanim, Nirot Yirutim.
Let us now return to our story, if we can find it. It was Purim in Kedrilli. All week, the housewives had baked hamantaschen, also tegelach, which we will not bother to define. If you've never tasted tegelach, it is your loss. The housewives had also baked cakes, strudels, cookies, tarts, biscuits, scones with raisins, scones with currants. Everything the ingenuity of a housewife could devise with flour, eggs, milk, sugar, fruit, and another. And all day long, on the festival of Purim, boys and girls, messengers and maidservants hurried through the streets of Kedrilli, carrying gifts and returning gifts from neighbor to neighbor, acquaintance to acquaintance, relative to relative. This was the custom of Shalach Manos, a lovely and gracious tradition. Now listen. Listen carefully. There were gradations and standards and distinctions and precedents in the sending and return of Shalach Manos. Particularly in the return.
Two hamantaschen, five cookies, a currant scone, and a slice of honey cake call exactly for...
One hamantash, two tarts, eight biscuits, a raisin scone, or its equivalent, three slices of honey cake, a slab of tegelach, and three cookies.
You had to know your way around these usages. It was a question of feeling rather than of weights and measures.
Also, the density of baking.
It was an etiquette as complicated as the hierarchies of the Byzantine court and the rigid ceremonial compulsions of the Hidalgos.
People know their rights, and they stand on them.
Where is the scandal, you may ask? Don't be impatient. We're coming to it. Everything in time. Now, there were two Nechamas. Nechama the Black, who worked for Zlata and Reb Isaac.
My pay is 4.5 rubles a season, 6 months. Plus clothes and shoes.
There was also Nahama the Red, who worked for Reb Yossi, the wash rag and Zelda.
6 rubles a season. No clothes, no shoes.
On this Purim in question, Nahama the Red and Nahama the Black came face to face as they were carrying their covered trays of Shalach Manos. It was a happy meeting.
I'm tired.
So am I.
What's your next stop?
Your employer's house.
That's funny. My next stop is to your employer's.
So you're hungry, too?
Starving. If we took a little, it wouldn't hurt. Especially if we balanced what we take.
Right. What I take from my platter, you take from your platter.
You're a genius. I'll take this piece of honey cake.
And I'll take this currant scone, this cookie, and this biscuit.
Balances perfectly. Now, Hama the Black, you're a genius.
Stop talking so much and eat.
Hug Purim, Hug Purim.
Said and done. They stopped talking and they ate. A little from each tray. Then a little more. Then a little more than all. But what was the difference? It was perfectly matched. The equilibrium was undisturbed. Who was the loser? Alas, they were only two foolish girls. For they left two fatal considerations out of count. Zelda, the wife of Reb Yossi, and Glutter, the wife of Red Isaac, would each remember what they had sent and see only what they had received. Nahama the Black brought her depleted shipment to Zelda, the wife of Reb Yossi the wash rag. Zelda looked. She gasped. She shrieked. Then she spoke through her clenched teeth.
Go tell your mistress, my dear girl. Tell your mistress that I hope she lives till next Purim and doesn't get a nicer shalachmonis than this from anyone in town.
Nahama the Red brought her diminished offering to Zlata, the wife of Reb Isaac. First, she fainted. When she was revived,
may all the nightmares of my life and the nightmares of the lives of all my ancestors be visited upon the heads of my enemies. Is this a shalachmonis or a joke? Take this back, your miserable mistress. Do you hear?
Now, this would have been bad enough if the wash rag and the one-a-year had been mere acquaintances. But their two stores stood side by side. They lent each other a couple of rubles now and then. They visited each other's homes on the Sabbath. Their wives, too, were on friendly terms, exchanging pots and scandals. Friends, however, have larger foundations to erect a quarrel than have mere acquaintances. Reb Yossi and Reb Isaac were well primed by their wives. The morning after, they opened their stores as usual, each one waiting for the other to say good morning in order that he might not answer. They stood grimly, hour after hour, humming. Hours humming. Glowering, seething, until finally their respective wives arrived.
Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning, Zelda.
Good morning, Yossi.
Good morning, Zelda.
Isaac, why don't you thank your friend for the wonderful shalachmonis he sent us yesterday?
Yossi, have you returned adequate thanks for the noble present we received?
I don't speak to a wash rag.
I wouldn't answer a one a year.
May you not crawl up perpendicular walls.
May you not have a searing pain in the seventh liver.
May there never be a black desolate year for someone I won't mention.
May there never come a weeping and a creeping, a bawling and a crawling, a plague and an ague, a drying and a frying. Also for someone I will not mention.
You're stepping on my foot.
Whose foot? Zelda, do you see anybody's foot? Let go my ear.
Zlata, do you see an ear?
Zelda, I will ask you kindly to remove your finger from my eye.
Of course, my dear madam.
There you have it. A scandal. In less time than it takes to put on a prayer shawl, the battle was joined. The market came to life. Half the town assembled to separate the combatants. The other half joined in the mix. Before the day was over, one-a-year Isaac and Yossi the wash rag invaded the office of the prefect of police to lodge charges of libel, malicious slander, assault, and battery. With them came their wives, relatives, acquaintances, and enemies.
Don't get in kaboodle. Go to the rabbi.
So they went to Reb Yossiful. And Reb Yossiful was nodding while the cantor sang. After all, what day was this? What festival was this? Patient, wise, long-suffering Reb Yossiful. He was more than a rabbi. He was the soul of Kesrin. And he was listening to the singing because it was Purim and a merry day.
Such an insult, my God, my family, and never be told to get to the world.
Reb Yosiful merely sat and stroked his white beard. He let the hours pass while the room resounded with the clamor of accusation and counter-accusation. They quieted down at last and demanded judgment, which Reb Yosiful was bound to render. There was a silence. Reb Yosiful sighed. Then he spoke.
This is the week of Purim. Therefore, we stand on the threshold of Passover. Great, the holy festival. Thousands and thousands of years ago, our ancestors went forth from Egypt in freedom and traversed the Red Sea dry shot. What a festival. What a sea. What a miracle. 40 years they wandered thereafter in the wilderness, having received the Torah at the foot of Mount Sinai, that marvelous Torah in which it is written, Behovato, thou shalt love, Reho, thy neighbor, Komocho, as thyself.
There was a hush. Not a word spoken. All eyes on the face of the aged patriarch in the black skull cap.
What a Torah. What a Torah God gave. And how shall we honor it? With quarrels, with foolish disputes, with vanities. Is it not a desecration to prepare thus for the Passover? Come, children, we have serious business before us. We must begin to consider what shall be done in this town of ours for the poor, who must celebrate Passover like all the others. Have we yet made a list of what they need? But stay. There is a quarrel to be composed, a judgment to be rendered. Let us begin the summation once more. The Passover is approaching. The Passover. What a festival. Our forefathers went out of Egypt in freedom and traversed the Red Sea dry shot. And after that, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And they received the Torah at the foot of Sinai. What a Torah. A Torah without an equal. Do you know what that means?
And so, Reb Yosiful went on with his summation in his weak, sad voice. And one by one, the litigants and their partisans withdrew. One by one, shamefaced, thoughtful, to wonder what the excitement had been about, and to prepare for the great and holy festival of Passover. And all was quiet in the little village of Kozilovka. Still. Not a sound. Still as the Sabbath. And all that was heard was a voice singing of Mordecai, who had been wise, and Esther, who had been good, and Haman, who had been defeated.
Like a free copy of the script just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we present Rabbi Goodman A. Rose of Congregation Beth Shalom of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Speaking from Pittsburgh, Rabbi Rose.
Merriment and gaiety characterize today's festival of Purim, and comedy soothes its spirit. It is the masquerade and the dramatization, buffoonery and fun, exchange of cookies and sweetmeats among neighbors. When the Book of Esther is chanted in the synagogue, as it was this morning, detailing the terror of the Jews when Haman threatened their extermination, and the turn of fate which brought upon the anti-Semite the destruction he had plotted for the Jew, even that story appeared tinged with comical elements. Jewish folklore has added its own accretions of amusing ridicule and broad humor. The comedy of Shalom Aleichem, which was dramatized on this program, is part of that folklore. It is a gentle satire on the folly of ill will and enmity. All the wise rabbi needs do to dispel animosity is to lift the heart to a higher plane. They think of the wonderful Torah, which is their common spiritual heritage, of the poor, whom they must help enjoy a happy holiday, and of the Passover holiday itself, symbol of freedom, and their petty conflicts are forgotten. Purim, as we celebrate it today, makes us feel that humor has a place among the religious virtues. In the perspective of time, the tyrant looks ridiculous. The Hamans of old and the Hitlers of our day cannot crush the spirit of those who in their hearts laugh at their pretensions. Little men trying to play gods, only in the end to hang on the gallows of their own building. Shalom Aleichem suggests a recipe for prejudice, being shamed away from petty bigotries, be it anti-Semitism or other group hatreds, through such religious guidance as will lift us to the higher plane of spiritual inspiration, brotherly love, and social progress. This is the task and the goal of Judaism.
Thank you, Rabbi Rose. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. The narrator was played by Alan Reed. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist. We wish to acknowledge the courtesy of Maurice Samuel for permission to use material contained in his book, The World of Shalom Aleichem, published by Alfred A. Knopf. The entire production is under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. I'll repeat that address. The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.